Okay, so we are holding on your days on the day 5 line from bottom. Okay, we started learning yesterday that for all other Avedas in the Torah, other than things involving Tumas Mikdash V'Kodshav, of which we've been dealing with in the entire Perek so far, other than those, other Avedas are taken care of by the Sur HaMishtaleach, Sur Lazal. And we said the Mishnah gave us a bunch of types of Avedas, Kalois and Chamurois, Ese, Lois Ese, Krisis and Mrs. Beistin, etc. So we have to figure out, Hai Ese Hechidon, what is the scenario where we're saying over here that a person who violated a mitzvah saseh needs the kapara of the Sur HaMishtaleach on Yom Kippur? Idoloi Ovad Tshuva, are we talking about that he did not do Tshuva, and he's expecting the Sur HaMishtaleach to work for him? Does it? Zevach Rishoyim Ta'eva, as the Pasuk says, the korban of Rishoyim is disgusting to Hashem. So Hashem doesn't want such a korban, and the Sur HaMishtaleach is a korban, per se.
How do we know that even one day after they did Tshuva?
Because if they did Tshuva, then they're not Rishoyim. We said the other day in Perek Aleph Tanya that a person does an Aveda, they're considered a Rosh HaGomer at the time, and if afterwards they do Tshuva, they're considered a Tzaddik. So if he didn't do Tshuva, then Zevach Hashem Teva, this isn't a carbon, but actually the Pnei Yeshua says it's kind of a Kavachoyman, Madach, a regular carbon that's only Mechafra on something B'Shogig, you need Tshuva in order for that to work. Here you're talking, you want it to be Mechafra on something B'Mezid, how much more so you got to do Tshuva? Okay.
No, the question is not if you have to do tshuva. The question is
if he didn't do tshuva. And on the other hand, if he did tshuva, then kol yom nami, he doesn't have to wait for Yom Kippur. Any day that he does tshuva, Hashem will immediately forgive him. Tanya, as we learn in a braisa at the end of Yoma, over which I have a quote at the beginning of a yeresa tshuva. Over on mitzvah eseh on the tshuva, a person is over on a mitzvah eseh and does tshuva. Loi zoz misham, he doesn't move away from there. Ad shemoichon loy until he's forgiven. So what is the scenario where, on the one hand, he's not forgiven right away, but on the other hand, he's going to be forgiven once the Sur HaMishtaleach has sent off? How does that work? If he does tshuva, and if he doesn't do tshuva, then it's not going to help him. Then the Sur HaMishtaleach isn't going to help him. Right. So what's the scenario? Okay. The answer is Amar Abzeda Ba'omid B'Miudai. We're talking about the person did not do tshuva. He's still in his state of rebellion. The Rebbe, however, our Mishnah that says that the Sur HaMishtaleach will help for him. What about Zerach Rishayim Ta'eva? Our Mishnah goes according to Rebbe, namely the Tanya. Hold on. The Tanya, as we learn in a Braisa, Rebbe Omer, I'll call Averis Shavat Torah for all Averis in the Torah, bein osa tshuva, bein loy osa tshuva, whether the person did tshuva or did not do tshuva. Yom Kippur and Mechaper, for anything he says, Yom Kippur itself is Mechaper for the person. Chut, except for the following exception. Mipurikoil, somebody who casts off the yoke of Hashem, meaning, so over here Rashi explains to me, Kofer Beikar, that he denies the essentials of Yiddishkeit, in particular that he denies the Eibishter. Elsewhere, Rashi also explains that Purikoil means he throws off all the mitzvahs. Here we were talking about he was over on one particular mitzvah, I say. But according to the explanation over there, that Rashi gives him Chrisus, it means that he was Purik Oil, he's not doing any mitzvahs at all. So him, and Apikoros would probably be in the category of Kofer Beikar, yeah. I mean, the Rambam lists, the Rambam lists in Hilchos Teshuva, you have different categories. You have five kinds that are called Minim, and three kinds that are called Apikorosim, and various others. So yeah, we learned, the Rambam formulated the 13 principles of Yiddishkeit, the Yud Gimel Ikrim. We learned about most of them in Perek Chelik and Sanhedrin. And yeah, different person denies different ones. It puts them in the category of Min or Apikoros or Kofer or what have you.
Also, except for somebody who was megala ponim b'Torah, meaning that he's chutzpedik about the words of Torah, Rashi brings the example that we learned in Chelik, for example, about Menashe, who used to look at various psukim, like you have when it says in the pasuk v'tim nahoyse pilegesh, and the story of Reuven and the Dudoyim, and say that that's meaningless. The Torah had Moshe Rabbeinu had nothing better to do but to write such things. That's megala ponim b'Torah. That's being chutzpedik to the Torah.
Megalaponimaturity, like bearing his face, he's bearing his face against the Torah. That's what I mean.
Umefer, and the third one that Yom Kippur doesn't help for is the one who is Mefer, who doesn't do the bris of the flesh, meaning, in other words, either it means that he doesn't get a bris mila at all,
he refuses
to get a bris mila, for example, or Rabbeinu Yonah says that it also includes Moshe Harlosa. It also includes the person who had a bris mila and then stretches the skin over there to conceal it.
Well, speaking of Hanukkah time.
Speaking of Hanukkah time, indeed, very good, yeah. Anyway, because in Sefer Hashmonaim over there, when it tells the stories over there, it tells how in the years before the Nes Hanukkah, the Misyavnim over there, one of the big things, you know, the Greeks, you know, were very much into physical sport and gymnasiums and whatever, and everybody over there was naked. So Jews who went to these places would feel the social pressure to be Moshe Cholase in order to look more like a Goyim. Okay. Anyway, so those three. So he says, Shem also Truva Yom Kippur Mechaper. So Rebbe says those three things, person does Truva, Yom Kippur will be Mechaper for him. Vim Lab and Yom Kippur Mechaper. If not, then Yom Kippur will not. But he says that when it comes to regular run-of-the-mill mitzvah sector, then Yom Kippur can be good for him, even if he's Omid Bemudo, even if he's still stubborn and doesn't want to do it.
So he says Arasha is only the one for these.
Not he's saying Arasha is only these. He's saying as far as the forgiveness of Yom Kippur. If the person dies before Yom Kippur, then he died as a Rasha. He died without having done Teshuvah. We'll talk about later on.
The chances he's going to die on Yom Kippur?
Well, we'll talk about that later on. We'll talk about that.
But
that,
he would
that.
Be lucky.
We'll talk. Hold on. We'll get to it. Not necessarily. Wait. Okay.
Relax.
We'll get to it. Okay. Okay, so the question is my time at the Rebbe. So, okay, what's Rebbe's reasoning? Why does he say Dafka those three, but everything else is taken care of? The Tanya, as we learn in a Braisa. Now, you have a pasuk that says like this. The whole pasuk goes, you can look in Torah Ur HaShalom on the side, number Aleph, Kidvar Hashem Boza, the word of Hashem, he's mocked, and his mitzvah, he's violated. Tikoris, HaNefesh Ahi Avon Abba. That nefesh will be cut off, its sin is in it. The Rebbe Darshan's the pasuk as follows. Ki Dvar Hashem Boza, Zaporuk Olam Galapon Matura. The Dvar Hashem Boza refers to the first two things, the person who denies Hashem and is Megalapon Matura. Because Dvar Hashem refers to the mitzvah Anochi Hashem Alekecha. As we learned at the end of Makkos, only the mitzvah Anochi and Lo Yilecha did we hear directly from Hashem. All the other ones, Torah, Tzivalon, and Moshe, the other 611 mitzvahs we heard from Moshe. So only those two, more than any others, those can be called Dvar Hashem. So Boza, he was Boza, he mocked it by not believing in it. And Megalaponim is because the word Boza also includes that he's being Mavaza, Divrei Torah. So therefore it includes those two. Ves mitzvot hefar, then when the pasuk continues, his mitzvah he transgressed, zam mefer bris boser. This refers to the person who is mefer the bris on the flesh, because in the sense that it's mitzvot, it's the singular mitzvah of Hashem, in the sense that there was a period in history when it was the only mitzvah in effect. When Hashem gave it to Avram, from Avram Avinu, that was the only mitzvah saseh that existed for some period of time. Therefore, it can be called mitzvah saseh in the singular, the one specific mitzvah. And the pasuk continues, he koris. The pasuk continues, cut off, he will be cut off. Why the double expression? Means he koris lifnei Yom Kippurim, he koris lacha Yom Kippurim. Means if he dies before Yom Kippur, he'll get koris, and after Yom Kippur passes also. If he didn't do tshuva, then he'll also get koris. So that's how he gets that those three Yom Kippur can't take care of. Yachol afilo also tshuva. Okay, you would think, though, that means even if he did tshuva, Talmud Loma, but that is why the pasuk continues. Avoin abba, it's avoin, it's avera, is in it. Meaning, it only applies when its avoin is in it. So that's how he gets, therefore, that any other avera, it doesn't matter whether avoin abba or not, because those are not specified in the pasuk. These three, it depends whether avoin abba or not. So that's Rebbe's opinion. So again, therefore, Rebbe can say that you have Yom Kippur, you have the Sur HaMashtaleach, that can take care of other Averis, even if he's Omid B'mirdoi. So had he not been Omid B'mirdoi, he doesn't have to wait for Yom Kippur. Right? As we said before, he does Tshuva for a mitzvah that day, he's forgiven right there on the spot. But because he didn't do Tshuva, he has to wait for Yom Kippur.
So he's not a Rasha for the other mitzvahs, he gets...
No, Yom Kippur gives him kapara for the other ones. Now, okay, he's not a Rasha for them anymore. I guess he's gotten his forgiveness. But, the Alter Rebbe talks about over there in the Geirat HaTshuva. You know, when you get down to it, I mean, in a way, there's a certain degree in which being over on a mitzvah's essay is worse than a mitzvah's loyus essay, and a certain degree in which the other way around.
A mitzvah set says basically, okay, you were lazy, you didn't do it. As opposed to a loy set, you actually went and did something against what, well, against what Hashem said. As opposed to, though, on the other hand, with a loy set, you do tshuva for it. Generally speaking, it cleans up whatever klipas were brought into the world because of it. As opposed to a mitzvah esser, okay, you do tshuva for it, but you still can't make up for what was lacking. No, you can't make up for what was lacking. A person, you know, bitul kriyash meshal shachas or kriyash meshal abis, as it says over there, then, you know, there's no making up for it. The fact is, or nedar, as it says over there. Okay. But anyway, the point is, okay, would he be called a rasha? I don't know. Whether the person is a rasha or a tzaddik is Hashem's judgment anyway. It's not really for us anyway. So, okay. Anyway.
Because if you judge him, then they'll judge you.
There is that.
So why the Tanya talks about
this? Because you need to know for yourself. Tanya is not a manual how to judge other people. But it's how you need to judge yourself. Heye ve'enecha karasha, right? You're not supposed to be judging other people. The Alter Rebbe devotes a whole perek, the perek lamed of Tanya, which by the way wasn't even part of the original manuscript of Tanya. The Alter Rebbe added it shortly before printing because apparently it was an important point that needed to be made, that you need to don't look down on other people and their averas. Yeah. Realize that they're not necessarily in the same place that you are.
No, it's not about looking down on other people. It's about characterizing something.
So you yourself need to know a person does an avera, he's a rasha, and if he does tshuva, he's a tzaddik. But whether that means, so if the person's averas were cleaned up by Yom Kippur according to Rebbe, does that now make him a tzaddik? I don't know. It's a good question. Okay. Fine. Anyway, that's it. V'rabbanan, what would the Rabbanan answer to all of that? They would say no. The word hikoris does not mean before and after Yom Kippur like you're claiming. It means hikoris ba'olam hazeh, hikoris ba'olam haba. It means, as we learned in Sanhedrin, hikoris means the person's neshama is cut off in this world, and in those times it meant that he would actually die young because of that, because neshama is cut off from Elokus. Hikoris ba'olam haba, and it's furthermore cut off also in olam haba. Nothing to do with before and after Yom Kippur. Avoyin Abba means shema, so tshuva or mef, misim and merakis. And the words avoyin Abba teach us that if he did tshuva and then afterwards he died, then his death cleans up, his death finishes off the kapara for anything that he did. Even these three, even Purik oil and Megalopon and Matara, etc. He did tshuva for them, then his death completes the kapara for them. But they say, in other words, so there's no difference between before and after Yom Kippur. So therefore, the same rule applies to all of them. If you did tshuva for them, you're forgiven on Yom Kippur. You didn't do tshuva for them, you're not forgiven on Yom Kippur.
That's logical.
Okay, that's how the Rabbanan understand it.
That's very logical.
Fine, okay. Okay, the problem with all this is, Umi Matzis Mukmas Lotter Rebbe, can you really say that our Mishnah, which says that the Sarah Mishtaleach is Mechaper for most Averis, including even you didn't do tshuva, can we really say that that goes like Rebbe? Vaha Midis Sefer of Yehudahi, given that the Sefer, the next part of the Mishnah, goes according to Rebbe Yehuda, on the face of it, Reishanami Rebbe Yehudahi, the previous part of the Mishnah, must also be according to Rebbe Yehuda. Well, generally, no, but... When you have, again, first of all, the Gemara will often use the word Reisha and Sefer for all the Mishnayos on one subject in an entire parak. And of course, here we have the printers jammed together all the Mishnayos in the parak anyway. But when we said that, we said Al Shara Veiris Rabatara, Al Kalas Rahamuris, etc., we said Sarah Mishtalach Machaper, and then we continued that this applies to Yisraelim and Koyanim and the Koyan Mashuach, but what's the difference between them? That there's a difference as far as Tumas Mitzvah Shakachav, and then Rav Shimon disagrees. Meaning, in other words, that you had, and usually who disagrees with Rav Shimon is Rav Yehuda. So therefore, that continuation of the sentence is according to Rav Yehuda. The Pashtus, then, the previous part of the sentence is according to Rav Yehuda.
Right.
And as Dikatoni Sefer, namely the Mishnah had continued, Echad Yisrael ve'Echad Koyanim ve'Echad Koyan Mashuach, that the third Amishtaleach, the third Lazazel, is Mechaper whether for Yisraelim or for Koyanim or for the Koyan Mashuach, the Koyan Gadol himself. And Uman Islay Ha'isvara Rabbi Yehuda. And where do we find who is the one who has that Svara? That is Rabbi Yehuda holds that way.
In other words,
that part of the Mishnah must be according to Rabbi Yehuda. Miklal, as opposed to Rabbi Shimon, argues on that in the Mishnah. And Miklal, the Reisha, Rabbi Yehuda, implying the Reisha must be according to Rabbi Yehuda, and we should not assume without any basis, we should not assume that Rabbi Yehuda agrees with Rebbe necessarily. The Pashtos, you have Rebbe
holding that you have the three big averas that Yom Kippur is not mechaper unless you do tshuva, but any other ones it is. When we say the Chachamim disagree with him, the Pashkas, the Chachamim agrees and includes everybody else, Rabbi Yehuda included. So therefore, then it wouldn't work out. Amar Rabbi Yosef, but Rabbi Yosef says it does work out. Rabbi Hiva Sava, what's Rabbi Yehuda? Very simple. Yes, the Mishnah is like Rabbi, but Rabbi actually holds like Rabbi Yehuda. This that Rabbi Yehuda says that we're not concluding yet, but this that we're saying that the third that according to Rabbi Yehuda, the third Amishtalayach is Mechaper on the Kohenim and on the Yisraelim and the Rim obviously as well, and the Kohen Mashuach, which Rabbi Shimon disagrees with, Rabbi agrees with Rabbi Yehuda on that. And therefore, if our Mishnah begins by saying that the third Amishtalayach can be Mechaper on Mitzvah, I say, implying even if he did Shuvah. And then it continues that it's Mechaper on Yisraelim and Koyanim, etc. Fine. All of that is according to Rebbe. Rebbe, as far as the detail of who the Sarada Mishnalayach is Mechaper on, what class of the people that is, agrees with Rebbe Yehuda. Okay.
Two opinions on three, really.
Right. Well, that's the question now. Omalei Abaye. When you say that Rebbe holds like Rebbe Yehuda, what are you implying by that? Davka Ka'omamar? Are you saying it specifically in that wording to imply Rebbe Savalak Rebbe Yehuda, Av Rebbe Yehuda Lai Savalak Rebbe? Are you implying, therefore, that Rebbe agrees with Rebbe Yehuda as far as what classes of people, Kohenim versus Levium, etc., are taken care of by the Sarah Mashalayach? But by saying Rebbe agrees with Rebbe Yehuda, the implication is Rebbe Yehuda, on the other hand, does not necessarily agree with Rebbe about which Averis are cleaned up by the Sarah Mishalayach if he didn't do Tshuva versus not.
Does he agree even on the principle?
That's what we have to ask. That's what we're asking. Oy Dilma, Mida Rebbe Savala to Rebbe Yehuda after Rebbe Yehuda Savala Nami to Rebbe, or Rebbe Yosef, do you mean to say that the two of them hold exactly the same opinion? Rebbe agrees with Rebbe Yehuda regarding the class of the people, Koyanim versus Yisraelim, and Rebbe Yehuda agrees with Rebbe regarding the types of Averis that achieve Kapara. So why did you say it? In which case, why did you phrase it that way? Why don't you just say they both agree? Because Mihu, nevertheless, Urcha de Milta Katani Lameimar, the Talmud Sava like a Rabbi. It's a normal thing to say that a Talmud agrees with his Rebbe. It's not a usual thing to say that a Rebbe, Rabbi Yehuda, being from the previous generation of Rebbe and being one of his Rebbeim, that to say that the Rebbe agrees with his Talmud is an unusual way of saying it. So maybe you phrased it that way, just because it's usual to speak of it in terms of a Talmud agreeing with his Rebbe. But then you would say that they're both saying exactly the same thing. They both agree on the types of Averis and they both agree on the types of people. Or maybe not. Maybe you're implying that they both agree on the types of people, but they would disagree on the types of Averis.
On Sunday, do on Sunday.
Yes. Amalei, so Rabbi Yosef answers in Ein. Yes, Davka Kamina. Ein, indeed. Davka Kamina. Davka Kamina, I said your first option is correct, Davka Ka'omamar, that, yes, I said it Davka this way. Instead of just saying that Rebbe and Rebbe Yehuda are saying the same thing, I specifically phrased it by saying that Rebbe agrees with Rebbe Yehuda. Rebbe, Savalak Rebbe Yehuda, Ava Rebbe Yehuda, Lai Savalak Rebbe. We can see, as a matter of fact, we're going to show from a Braisa that Rebbe agrees with Rebbe Yehuda. Fine, that's what we said before. But we can show from the following Braisa that actually that Rebbe Yehuda does not agree with Rebbe. That when Rebbe is saying that for most Averis, it doesn't matter whether you did Shuvah or not, Yom Kippur is Mechaper, but only for the big three it doesn't. Rabbi Yehuda necessarily disagrees with that on the basis of the following braisa. The Tanya, namely, we learn in a braisa, Yochol Yehi Yom Kippur Mechaper Al Shavim Rishav Al Shein and Shavim. You would think that Yom Kippur is Mechaper whether a person did Shuvah or not. You can answer that no. V'dinu. You can show logically that that's not the case. Because because we see there are two different types of things that are machaper. You have a chatas or an asham on machaper, and you have Yom Kippur as machaper. So ma chatas, we're going to make a ma matzinu, then we're going to make a binyanav. Ma chatas for asham ain machaper ela al ashadim. Just like a chatas or an asham only is machaper if you do tshuva, because Rashi brings from various psukim that says that when you bring a korban, you have to say vidui on what you did. And that's how it is. So you didn't do the vidui, then the korban doesn't count. Afyam kippurim and mechaper el al hashavim. So also Yom Kippur is only mechaper for people who did shuvah. So not like Rebbe. So we see from that, so far we have this braisa. We haven't yet established who said this braisa. We're going to talk about that soon. We're going to first quote the whole braisa and then see how we know it's according to Rebbe Yehuda.
Fine. The question is, you could slog up that binyan av because malachatas for osham shen mechaper al amazed kishergig. How can you compare a chatas and an osham are not mechaper on a case of mazed, because most chatois and ashamos are not brought for something amazed. You have the rare exception. You have some rare exceptions. You have a couple of types of ashamos, such as the shifra harufa. You have one type of chatas of shvua seedros. That applies whether it was shogig or mazid, which we're learning. Most of them it's shogig. And Tosfos points out you can't say that you would use those few exceptions and say, well, in that case maybe all chatois should be mechaper on the mazid. So you can't do that because you see that these cases of shvua seedros and then shivcha harufa and whatever don't involve krisis and don't involve mrs. Beis Din, whereas a standard chatos. A standard chatas usually involves chores. So therefore, you can't say that you're going to learn from the chatas of Shavuot Seedus that just like that one works for mazid, so all the other ones also work if it's mazid. So you can't, because not the same. Shavuot Seedus and then Shivcha Harufa and whatever are not chayve krisis, whereas most other chayve chatas are. All the chayve chatas, whatever. Okay.
Those are the two.
Those you have also Rashi also mentions you have the Oshim of a Nazir Tomei and the Oshim of Shavuot Pikadon. You have a few different types of Ashamos. Those can be Mimezid as well. Shavuot Pikadon we'll talk about later in the Masechta. Shavuot Edus we also will. Shivcha Harufa we've dealt with a little bit before. And Nazir Tomei we dealt with in Nazir. Okay. Fine. So anyway, so you could slog up. You could say that a chatas and asham are not mechaper for a shogig, for a mezid rather. Toimah the Yom Kippurim she mechaper al mezid to shogig. How can you compare? Yom Kippur, after all, is mechaper on people who are mezid as well. So maybe therefore it has the power to do it, even if you didn't do tshuva. You could say horil mechaper al mezid to shogig. Given that Yom Kippur is able, it has the power to be mechaper on a mezid just as much as a shogig. Yechaper al shavim val she'en and shavim. So also maybe it should have the power to be mechaper on the people who did tshuva or the people who didn't do tshuva. So we're not able to learn it from a mamosinu. We have to have a different way of learning this. Talmud lema ach cholak. So therefore we have, the pasuk says, ach ba'osa l'chodesh hazeh. The pasuk says, only on this 10th day you have a day of Yom Kippur. So the ach makes a distinction. And ach in general is a miut. Anytime it says in the Torah, ach rak, it's a miut. So here it's a miut. It's only mechaper for people who did tshuva, not for people who don't. That's what we're saying. We said before that Rebbe doesn't. No, everybody agrees ach kolak, but Rebbe would say that ach teaches us something else, I guess. But the point is, how do we know that this braisa is? According to Rabbi Huda? Because this braisa came from Sifra. The braisas like that go through logically and explain why we need a certain pasuk or a certain word in the pasuk to teach us a certain din usually come from Mechilta, Sifra, Sifri, whatever Mechilta if it's from Shmoyt, Sifra if it's from Vayikra, Sifri if it's from Bamidbar Dvarim, whatever. Therefore. Stam Sifra Mani Rabbi Huda. A Stam statement without an author's name in Sifra comes from Rabbi Huda. We learned in Sanhedrin that we said Stam Mishneh Rabbi Meir, Stam Sifra Rabbi Huda, we had Stam Sifri, etc. So each one, and all of them were according to Rabbi Akiva. So therefore, become a Shavim Ein Lai Shavim Lai. And Rabbi Huda is clearly saying over there that Yom Kippur is only Mechapa for you if you do Tshuva. So therefore, obviously, Rabbi Yehuda must disagree with Rebbe's point at the top of the Amud. Yes. So therefore, that is why Rabbi Yosef is saying, Shabaya, that's why I specifically use the expression that Rebbe agrees with Rabbi Yehuda, meaning as far as the fact that Kohenim and Yisraelim and everybody else are all taken care of by the Sarah HaMashalayach, they both agree on that. But I did not say that Rabbi Yehuda agrees with Rebbe, because he doesn't. Rebbe holds that except for the big three, everything else, Yom Kippur is Mechaper, whether he did Tshuva or not. And Rabbi Yehuda says, like the other Chamim, that no, only if he did Tshuva. Now the problem becomes the Rami Stam Sifra, Stam Sifra. If you're going to bring me one Stam Braisa from the Sifra and Vayikra, and you're saying that's the Rabbi Yehuda's opinion, I'll give you another Stam Sifra that says differently. But what are you going to do with that? The Tanya, we learn in another Braisa, also in Sifra. Yochol lo yehe yom kippur mechaper elam kenis anaboy. You would think maybe that Yom Kippur should only be mechaper if you fasted on it. ukroi mikra kodesh, and you called it a mikra kodesh. So what does it mean to call it a mikra kodesh? Rashi says it means that you said the brachas that are part of davening. You said mekadesh yisroel v'yemekapurim and davening. That's to be mekadesh. Tosfos argues on that. Right, that's what it means. To call it mikra kodesh means to say the bracha that ends mekadesh yisroel v'yemekapurim. However, Tosfos argues on that, because Tosfos says, we're trying to talk about on a Doraisa level, we're trying to talk about what the Torah itself is saying, whether Yom Kippur works for you or not. This is the bracha is the Rabbanon, yeah. So Tosfos answers that no, calling it Mikra Kodesh means that you agree that based in fact, are the ones who made it holy, and why are you resting from work? Why are you not doing work on Yom Kippur? Because of that, because it is a holy day. You're not, let's say, loikroi, mikra kodesh, in the continuation of the braisa. Let's say, for example, would be a person is not working just because he doesn't feel like working. He feels like taking a day off.
They didn't make it holy.
Because they declared when their kodesh is. 10 days later, it's Yom Kippur. So according to Tosfos, that's what it means. Kroi, mikra kodesh means he's observing Yom Kippur because he knows that it's a holy day, not stam because he wanted a day off work. On the side over here, and I go to Theonim, it brings from a Tosfos in Christus, where it also has this discussion, where Tosfos there says different. Kroy Mikra Kodesh means that he honors it by wearing clean clothing. Usually most young Tovim, we make them a Mikra Kodesh by having a meal and so forth. Obviously, making Kiddush, obviously in Kippur, we don't do that. But Kacheu B'Ksuf Netiya, as the Gemara calls us elsewhere. Make it holy, show that it's a holy day by wearing clean, nice clothes.
Is that, do you think, where the wearing white came from? Or is it just...
I don't know. I mean, the official reasons for wearing white are, number one, to be like a malachim and to remember Yom HaMitzvah. I mean, Ksus Nekia doesn't necessarily mean white clothing, per se, but maybe, I don't know. There's two basic reasons why you wear kittur on Yom Kippur. One is to be like the malachim. They're described as wearing white, so we wear white. And the other reason is that a person should remember the day where everybody's going to act for 120, when he's going to be dressed in white tachrisin and a white kittur. And that'll put him in his place and make him realize he's in the future.
That I understand, but to look like malachim, when we argue to Moshe Rabbeinu, we are not malachim.
Fine, but one day a year, on Yom Kippur, we accomplish, we go to the level of the malachim. We have the capability of being higher than the malachim, of course, but most of us on a day-to-day basis are not. But on Yom Kippur, we're like the malachim. Okay. Anyway. Going back to the Braisa then, so Yochol lo yehi Yom Kippur mechaper elen tinis anavoy ukroi mikra kodesh. You would think Yom Kippur is only mechaper only if you fasted on it, and only if you made it a mikra kodesh in any of these three ways that we're talking about. Veloy also by malacha, and you didn't do malacha on it. What happens? Loy his anavoy. What happens? You didn't fast on Yom Kippur. Veloy ukroi mikra kodesh. You did not declare it a mikra kodesh, so you didn't say the brachos, or you didn't work on it because you just wanted a vacation, or you didn't. Honor it with susniti or whatever, also by malacha, and you did malacha on it, minayin. How do we know that even in that case, Yom Kippur is mechaper for you? Therefore, the pasuk says it is Yom Kippur for you, meaning regardless, whether you observed it or not, Yom Kippur is Yom Kippur. So we have a contradiction, therefore. So we have one braisa saying that only if you did tshuva is Yom Kippur mechaper for you. The other one saying you violated Yom Kippur itself, and then Yom Kippur is mechaper for you. How does it work? I'm going to buy like Hasha HaRebi, Bahar Rabbi Yehuda. Sabayit is very simple. The second braisa in Torah Kainim, even though it's also anonymous, it's not in fact according to Rabbi Yehuda. Usually an anonymous braisa in Sifra is from Rabbi Yehuda, as we just said. But here, this one is according to Rebbe. We just said before, Rebbe says only the big three. Only part of because he's saying it's not in the category of Kidvar Hashem Baza, it's not in the category of its Vasa Hefar, therefore there's no Hikaris Hikaris. Therefore Yom Kippur can help him.
So it's an exception to the clause.
The same way as we say many times we have the Stam Mishnah. The Gemara will establish that Stam Mishnah, even though usually they're according to the mayor, sometimes we'll have a Stam Mishnah according to somebody else. Yeah, it's going to be the same thing. Rava Amahava HaRebi. Rava says you don't have to say it that way. You could say actually both braises are according to Rebbe, and after all, they are back to back. They're both talking about the two ends of the same pasuk, Ach the Aser and Yom HaKippurim Hu. So it seems more logical. They come from the same. It seems more logical. They come from the same path. But However, Rebbe does agree, aside from the big three that we said before, Kora Kora, the Galaponim, and Mefer Bris Basar, Rebbe will additionally agree that the Kores that regarding Yom Kippur itself, where after all, the Torah tells us a person who doesn't fast on Yom Kippur, a person who doesn't do Malacha, a person who does Malacha on Yom Kippur, gets Kores, Rebbe will agree that that itself, you broke Yom Kippur itself, you're high of Kores for that. Yom Kippur itself is not going to be Mechatur for you.
In addition to the others.
So they have the three others, which is regardless whether you did them. We're talking about ones that you did on Yom Kippur itself. You didn't fast. You did Malacha. Then yes, Yom Kippur is not going to help you with that. Rebbe will agree, says Rabbi. And Rabbi says, the Eloi Teimahachi, after all, if you're not going to say it. And by the way, I mean, that could be what Rebbe is using the ach for. And Tosfos seems to say that, and then in the Tosfos, the Eloi Teimahachi, lomoloi ach cholak. So it seems that even Rebbe is going to agree that ach is cholak, like we said. Well, we don't have to. If we're saying that both Brises are according to Rebbe, the first one said ach cholak, then yeah, we have to say Rebbe is agreeing that ach cholak. But he's saying, in other words, that what is it being cholak? In that, if a person was that usually Yom Kippur is mechaper for that usually Yom Kippur is mechaper whether you did tshuva or not. But ach cholak, if a person violated Yom Kippur itself and did not do tshuva, then Yom Kippur doesn't help. Okay.
So they both agree.
Right. The Eloi Teimahachi, because after all, if you're not going to say it that way, if you're going to think that Rebbe himself were to argue that even breaking Yom Kippur itself, where you're high of Kores for that, nevertheless Yom Kippur can help you, can save you from that. Kores Yom Kippurim, but Rebbe less like. What would it mean? According to Rebbe, it would be impossible. It's a question. Kores Yom Kippurim, the Rebbe less like. Are you going to tell me that Rebbe doesn't hold of the concept of Kores on Yom Kippur? The Pasuk itself clearly says a person eats on Yom Kippur, a person works on Yom Kippur, then he gets Kores. Rebbe can't disagree with the Pasuk. So obviously there has to be some way in which a person can get Kores on Yom Kippur itself. Must be, obviously, Rebbe agrees that's an exception to the rule. However, the Gemara says, Allah Malay, well, why not? I can give you a scenario where you could have that, even according to Rebbe, that you could get Kores for Yom Kippur itself. Mashkachatla, that you could have a case, even if Rebbe agrees, even if Rebbe were to say that even a person breaks Yom Kippur itself, Yom Kippur can be Mechatur for him, I can still find you a scenario where Yom Kippur will not be able to be Mechatur for him. Namely, Mashkachatla, you can have an example. Going to other Beleria, suppose a person ate or did Malacha the night of Yom Kippur,
right.
And then he died. Now, what part of Yom Kippur is Mechaper? Is the day. Yom doesn't mean, and for that purpose, the 24 or 25 hour period of Yom Kippur, it means the actual daytime, the daytime hours. So only when the daytime hours come.
So we have Kars at night, and then it's cured by daytime.
Yes, but like this, if he died at night,
yeah.
So then he never gets the kapara of Yom Kippur. So there, Rebbe could say that that's the case that the Torah is talking about, where you get kares for eating or doing malacha on Yom Kippur. Rebbe might still say that if you were to eat or do malacha on the daytime of Yom Kippur, you could still get your kapara from Yom Kippur itself. Okay, the Gemara says fine. Ella ema kares. Still, are you going to say that Rebbe holds impossible to get Kores for Yom Kippur by day?
After all, again, when the Pasuk mentions about Kores, the expression is that the Pasuk says that a person does not fast or a person does Malacha, the Esem HaYom HaZeh. The Esem HaYom HaZeh means in the daytime. The Esem HaYom literally means the strength of the day. So it literally means like the middle of the day.
It shouldn't mean necessarily the whole day.
No, so again, it's similar to you have the famous thing that Rashi brings in a few places in the Chumash, that there's three places where it says the Esemayim Azeh about a historical event: Noach going into the Teva, the Jewish people leaving Mitzrayim, and Moshe going up to Har Nevoi. Because in each case, you have people claiming we're not going to let it happen. We're not going to let Noach go into the Teva. We're not going to let the Mitzrayim on. We're not going to let the Jewish people go. The Jewish people, we're not going to let Moshe die. And each time Hashem says, I'm bringing him in b'chasiyah yom, and then you guys aren't going to be able to do anything about it. So be'etzem hayom hazeh means literally the middle of the day, the full strength of the day. And that's when the Pasuk says you get kares. Again, how can Rebbe be talking about a possibility that that a person could conceivably not get kares for the daytime? And the answer is, Allah Malay. Still, why not? Why do you have to say that you could still find a way that Rebbe would make that happen? He could still say that in general, a person breaks Yom Kippur, then Yom Kippur itself is mechatur for him. However, I can find you a scenario by day where it's not able to. The Ochel Umtza, the Chanke Umit.
Let's say, for example, the person ate a piece of meat and immediately chokes on it and dies. So not a single moment passed after his avera for Yom Kippur to be mechaper on him. Inami, or another possibility, the
offer. Right at the beginning of
Yom Kippur. No, we're talking about the day now. We're talking about
the
middle of the day. Yeah. The middle of the day, he takes a big chunk of meat and then eats it, chokes on it, and then chokes on it and dies. There's no chance after he finished eating for Yom Kippur to be mechaper for him. Inami, or another possibility, the ochal samach l'shkiyat hachama. Let's say you could have the person ate right before shkia, right as the day is ending. So there's not
eating.
Yeah, there's not even a moment left of the day after the avera. They'll have a show. It's like a portal. There's no time in the day for Yom Kippur to be mechaper for him. There's no extra time after that, right?
It's funny. Why would they bring the
after
first one?
The other one.
No, well, actually, yeah. In Prince, I mean, we keep Yom Kippur until face because of Sfeika D'Yoyim. Right. But we're talking about over here that the Eibishter knows the moment when Yom Kippur really ends. Therefore, the moment when the kapara is when the kapara is really done. So let's say, for example, let's say that moment is going to be 6 o'clock. For example, the guy eats at 5:59:59. There's no time from there for there to be kapara. So that's
still chewing.
So that could be a case.
He made tshuva 5:59, he eats, and 5:59:30, he makes tshuva.
30 seconds, fine. He's going to do tshuva.
No, he's still chewing at that.
Yeah, he's still
chewing.
Okay.
It's a small piece, he eats it in 10 seconds.
Well, yeah, okay.
And then he does tshuva in...
All right.
Okay.
Tosfos, by the way, talks about, here we came into this whole discussion because of Sarah Meshaleach. Why don't we say very simply that this is what they did the Avera after the Sarah Meshaleach went off. Tosfos says it doesn't matter. The Sarah Meshaleach can work. The Sarah Meshaleach, Tosfos says, works. It works retroactively, basically.
Retroactively.
Yeah.
We're not talking about
retroactively. No, we're talking about even it's mechaper. I mean, it's mechaper for anything that happens during the rest of that day. No, during the continuation of that day.
So not according to Rebbe.
Not retroactively.
No, no.
It would be, if it's not according to Rebbe, it would be talking about an avera that someone did on Yom Kippur that's not regarding Yom Kippur. That would be atoned for by the Shomer Shalech, even though he did it after the
Mishnah. Well, no. So according to everybody else, other than Rebbe, what we would have to say is our Mishnah did not have to list Mitzvah Esther, because again, when it comes to a Mitzvah Lois Esther or anything harsher than that, yes, of course, it needs to not only do Tshuva, but needs Yom Kippur or the Sur as well. All it is we were saying, the fact that we had to make our Mishnah be according to Rebbe is specifically because it mentioned Esther's. We're according to the Chachamim, as soon as you do tshuva for an Esther, you're Neskaper, and if you didn't do tshuva for it, then you're not Neskaper by Yom Kippur or the Sarei Meshaleach or anything anyway. Tosfos actually also brings up the point that maybe what it is Yom Kippur only finally does the Kapara at its last moment. So when it gets dark at the end of Yom Kippur. Is the point. In other words, it's not, for example, the way we're learning the Gemara. We could have assumed, for example, that let's say, the person ate at 10 o'clock in the morning and was saying that we're arguing according to Rebbe, we might say that at 10:01 Yom Kippur is mechaper for him because a minute of Yom Kippur has passed after he ate and therefore it passes him from Kares. Tosfos talks about it, and we don't need to say that. We could say that the actual Kapara only takes place at the end of Yom Kippur, in which case the Gemara didn't necessarily have to mention the example where he ate and immediately choked and died. It could be he ate and died before the end of Yom Kippur. It would work the same way.
So, but in that case, that there would say that you're going to have Kapara even after Shomer Shaleach.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Right. That's what I'm saying. The ultimate kapara happens at the end of Yom Kippur. And there is, by the way, in one of the piyutim on Yom Kippur, there's an expression, b'fnois erev kimchas, not neila, it's actually in Shachris or Mosef, I don't remember, but it uses the expression, b'fnois erev kimchas donai, as the evening is turning, you'll wipe away my deliberate aveir, which fits with what Tosfos is saying over here, that's like the last moment of Yom Kippur.
That's why some people always come to neila.
Okay, I don't know. All right.
Well, you just come to me, but...
Yeah. Okay, so the point is...
But that's enough, maybe.
Okay, so the point is, we really don't have a proof one way or the other whether Rebbe, in fact, this that Rava was arguing, that Rebbe would necessarily have to agree that Kares of Yom Kippur itself, Yom Kippur does not atone for, does not remove, because otherwise how does a person get Kares for Yom Kippur? The Gemara has shown that not necessarily. Rebbe could hold that there are these corner cases, these edge cases, where it's possible to get Kares by night or by day, as the case may be, but in all other cases, maybe Yom Kippur is mechaper for somebody who was over on the mitzvah of Yom Kippur.
So the case.
Yeah. So in general, yes. In which case, if we understood it that way, it would mean that Rebbe holds that the only exceptions are the three that he mentioned at the beginning of the Soviet. Hurik Oil, Megal, Aponim, Atarda, and Mefer Bris Bosser. And the other way of looking at it would be that maybe he does agree that also Carter's of Yom Kippur. Rava said that, but we don't have a solid proof we don't have a solid proof for what Rava said. Okay. Again, I mean, it's not really relevant to it's not really so relevant to Paschal and Halacha about it. I mean, whether the person gets Carter's or not is in Hashem's hands, really. I mean, to a certain extent, I guess there's a Nachmanite. We talked about in Makkos whether a person who's chayav kares can get malkos and be potter from kares. Does that work also if he comes voluntarily for it? It also is negeya whether he's potter la'edus or not. The halacha anyway, the halacha is
we said that
he's potter from kares. We said in the mission over there, we said according to the Chananim and Gamliel anyway. However, we also discussed over there the question, does that also work if the person comes voluntarily, or does it only work if Adim came and testified that he's yeah. Okay. Bottom line, anyway, is the halacha is not like a Rebbe anyway. The halacha is like the chachamim, that the Yom Kippur is only mechaper for the shavim, for any aveiros, and not mechaper for the she'enim shavim. Okay. Onward. The Mishnah said, Echad Yisrael, ve'echad koinim, ve'echad koin mashuach. The Mishnah had said, then, that the third HaMashalayach is mechaper both for Yisraelim, and for koinim, and for the koin mashuach, the koin gadol. And then the Mishnah continues, saying that there's a difference between the Yisrael and the Kohenim and the Kohen Mashuach. The whole group of Kasha, we have a contradiction in the Mishnah. Katoni, Echad Yisrael, Echad Kohenim, Echad Kohen Mashuach, you say that they're all on an equal level. The Hodotoni, and then the Mishnah continues, Ma ben Yisrael, the Kohenim, and the Kohen Mashuach. What's the difference between the Yisrael and the Kohenim and the Kohen Mashuach? So, are they the same or are they different? Amar of Yehuda, Hafi Kama. Now, what the Mishnah means is like this. Echad Yisrael, Echad Kohenim, Echad Kohen Mashuach, Meskapin, Besar, Mashalayach, the Sha'ar Averis, all classes of Jews are niskaper by the Surah Mashalayah, and regarding other types of Averis other than Tumas Mikdash Kodshav, and there's no difference between them. Uma ben Yisrael, Lakoinim, Lakoin Mashuach. So, in what regard is there a difference between Yisraelim and Koinim and Lakoin Mashuach? The difference is as far as Tumas Mikdash Kodshav. Elashah, Par Machapra, Lakoinim, Tumas Mikdash Kodshav, that the difference is that the Par, the one whose blood is brought into the Kodesh and the Kodesh HaKadoshim, is Mechaper for the Kohenim, for their Tumas Mikdash V'Kodshav. And the Sur, as we learned previously in the Mishnah, is Mechaper for everybody else, for Tumas Mikdash V'Kodshav. So we're going to see the reasons.
Levim
are included in Yisraelim for that.
Israel.
Yeah. So when we say Kohenim, we mean specifically Kohenim. Yisraelim means everybody else. Umani Rabbi Yehuda, in which case that part of the Mishnah is according to Rabbi Yehuda. So we talked on about Aleph, we said that part of the Mishnah is according to Rabbi Yehuda. That's what brought us into the whole discussion, what Rebbe holds, what Rabbi Yehuda holds. That part of the Mishnah goes according to Rabbi Yehuda, and we can see this from the following Braisa. Even though in our Mishnah it's just a Stam Mishnah, we can see that it's according to Rabbi Yehuda from the following Braisa. The Tanya, we learn in the Braisa, the Pasuk says, V'chiper es mikdash ha-kodesh. Now, again, we can look in Torah Ur HaShalom on the side, number Aleph. The chiperes mikdash hakodesh, the kohen gadol should make kapara for the holy mikdash. That oil moed that's a mizbeach chaper. The oil moed and the mizbeach he'll bring kapara. V'al hakohenim, v'al kol amakol yichaper, and for the kohenim and for all the people of the congregation, he will be mechaper. So what do each of these phrases mean? The chiperes mikdash hakodesh zelafnai v'lefnim. When it says the chiperes mikdash hakodesh, means he's mechaper for the fnai v'lefnim. Let's say somebody went in there. Lefnai v'lefnim, meaning the Kodesh Kodashim, there was a problem of tumma in there. Now, what do we mean a problem of tumma? We don't mean that he was tumma before he went in, because then obviously he's chayv kodesh. He became tumma in there, and Rashi explains on the basis of what we're going to learn in a few days in the second parak, that if a person becomes tumma inside the Beis Mikdash, they're obligated to get out of there by the fastest route and in the fastest way possible.
We
may have discussed it briefly, but we didn't really get into the details of it. The next paragraph, we're going to get into the details of it. So the person has to leave by the shortest route and as fast as possible. And if he doesn't, he can be chayav kares. So therefore, you can have a scenario where the Kohen Gadol is there in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and while he's there, somehow he becomes Tommy, where he's then obligated to, I don't know, dead sheret falls from the ceiling on him, I don't know, and he immediately has to get out of there as fast as possible. And if he doesn't, he's going to be chayav kares. So therefore, when we say v'chiper es mikdash hakodesh, we're being mechaper for a case like that. Zelafnai v'lefnim. Es oyel moyed, the post continues that he's mechaper for oyel moyed zehechol. Lefnai v'lefnim, the innermost. The kodesh hakodashim. Es oyel moyed zehechol. When it continues that he's mechaper for oyel moyed, that means zehechol. Again, same idea. Somebody became tummy in the hechol and didn't leave as fast as possible.
Mizbeach k'mashmo. The word mizbeach means exactly what it sounds like. For example, Rashi says somebody that means the mizbeach hazal, the golden mizbeach. So somebody brought Torah when they were tall.
A person came. A person came in there, and he was being mighty, and he became Tommy over there, and was Makdif Torah. Yeah. Yechaper. The pasuk continues. He should atone. He should bring kapara. That extra word, because it already said the chaper. So the extra word teaches us Elo Ezras Kain, Elo Azores. Elo Azores. This refers to kapara for the Azores. Somebody became Tommy in Ezras Yisrael, and Ezras Noshim, or somebody walked into them, whatever, while he was Tommy, whatever. So all of those are various types of Tumas Mikdash.
Yechaper goes on the Azores, because we already took care of the Kodesh HaKadosh, we already took care of the Hekel, and the Mizeach Azores, so now we're up to the Azores. Koyanim Kmashmon, when the pasuk continues that he's Mechaper for the Koyanim, that means the Koyanim.
Am HaKohol Elu Yisrael. When the pasuk continues, Am HaKohol, the people of the congregation, that means Elu Yisrael, that means the rest of the Jewish people, including Levim. Yeah. Yechaper Elu HaLevim. No, so when it says when it finishes off, Yechaper, the extra word Yechaper teaches us Elu HaLevim. There's two different Yechapers in the pasuk. Look back in Torah Rashalim. That's the Chibras Mikdash Hakodesh. That's Oyomer Vesemus. That's Yechaper. Ba'al Hakohen Ba'al Kol Yechaper. So the first Yechaper teaches us that it applies to the Azores, and the second one teaches us that it applies to Levim, meaning Hush v'kulam l'kapara achat, meaning therefore that the Pasuk is putting all of them, the Kohenim and Levim and Yisraelim, all on the same level, shemeskapin b'sarim ha-shalech b'shar ha-beres, that all of them, the sarim ha-shalech, brings kapara for all of their ha-beres. So Tumas Mr. Shakod Shav, not. There you have the distinction between the power and the sar, between Kohenim and everybody else.
But for the Sarim Ashlaf, everybody is included in it.
Divir of Yehuda. That's who Shemizkaf from the Sarim Ashlaf for Sharaveris. Divir of Yehuda. That's what Rabbi Yehuda said. So there we see our statement in the Mishnah that said that the Sarim Ashlaf applies to Kohenim, Levim, and Yisraelim. That would be according to Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Shimon says no. Kishem Shadam Sar Hanas the Sneem Machapra Yisrael al Tomas Mitzvah Shokacho. Just like the Sar whose blood is brought inside is Machapra for the Yisraelim and the Levim, for Tumas Mitzvah Shokachov, Kat Damapur, Machapra al Ta'ala Koyanim al Tumas Mitzvah Shokachov. So also, in a similar way, the blood of the power is Machapra for the Koyanim, for Tumas Mitzvah Shokachov. Fine, that Rabbi Yehuda is not necessarily disagreeing with. But therefore, Rabbi Shimon says, the same way as you have a distinction as far as Tumas Mitzvah Shokachov, you have a similar distinction when it comes to other Averis. Just as the vidui that the Kohen puts his hands on the Sarim Ashtaleach and says vidui chotu ovu poshul ufanecha am chabez Yisrael, like we say in the Seder Avodah, and that is machaper for the Jewish people, the rest of their averus. Kach the same way says Reb Shimon vidui shopar machaper al Kohen b'shar averus. So also in a similar way, the vidui on the par, which then is shechted and the blood brought into the Kodesh Hakodashim, is machaper for the Kohen's other averus. So according to him, both when it comes to Tumas Nefesh for Kodshav and when it comes to other Averis, you have different kaparas for the Kohenim and for everybody else. The blood of the Sar. Well, hold on. So you have like this. According to Reb Shimon, you have as follows. You have the blood of the Sar Hanas B'Fnim for Tumas Nefesh for Kodshav for Yisraelim, the Sar Hamashtaleach for the Yisraelim other Averis, the Vidui on the Par for the Tumas Nefesh V'Kodesh of Kohenim, and the sprinkling of the blood of the power for the other Averis of the Kohenim. Oh no, the other way around, sorry. The vidui for the other Averis and the sprinkling for Tumas Nefesh V'Kodesh. So according to him, you have four different things. Whereas according to Rabbi Yehuda, you only have three. You have the Sar Hanas B'Fnim. You have the Sar Hanas B'Fnim, it's blood. You have the Par Hanas B'Fnim. According to him, there's no distinction between the vidui and the blood. They're all part of the same thing. And the Sar Hamashtalem. Okay. The question is, Olor of Shimon, Havadai Hushu. Okay, according to Rabbi Yehuda, it's easy to understand. We said that we had a pasuk over there that said that everybody is on the same level. V'al HaKoyinim V'al Kol HaMakol Yechaper means that you have one kapara that applies to you have one kapara that applies to everybody, but for all other averus.
Right.
So you have, in other words, Tosfos says it's one thing. The Sora Pnimi, fine. You have a pasuk that the pasuk that says Asher La'om, and the Gemara is going to explain soon that it's an exception and it doesn't apply to the Kohen. The Om is generally speaking the word Asher La'om means to exclude the Kohen. So fine, Sora Pnimi, fine. There's going to be a difference, but between the you have the Sora Pnimi versus the Para Pnimi for the Israelim versus the Kohen. But at least according to Rabbi Yehuda, you have one thing, the Sura Mishdaleach, that covers everybody. According to Rabbi Shimon, you have no one animal, you have no one korban or Sura Mishdaleach or whatever that covers everybody.
So the Sura Mishdaleach,
it covers only Israelim for other Averis. Israelim and Levim for other Averis, not Kohenim. Other Averis for Kohenim, he says, are dealt with by the Vidui on the Par. So according to him, there's no one korban or non-korban, whatever, that takes care of everybody. In what sense? So we said there was a hekesh over there in the pasuk. What is Reb Shimon doing with that?
I don't know, but
well, yeah, hekesh
is a hekesh. What's he going to do with it?
The answer is so that's the question. Lord Reb Shimon havada hushu. Or don't we see that according to Reb Shimon, they're definitely equated in some way? In what sense are they equated? If according to him, they're not under the same korban. The answer is. My hushvu dibnei kapara ninu. Okay, the equation is just that they're all included. They're all capable of having kapara. They're all capable of having kapara for Tumas Mikdash Rekodshav or for other averas. It's a hekesh in the sense. No, a hekesh teaches us if we didn't have those words va'al koyinim va'al kolam akol yechaper, you would not know that everybody is included in some kind of kapara. You would think maybe there are segments of the Jewish people that don't have a kapara through these kavas. So the pasuk is teaching us that no, all of them have a kapara of some kind through these korbanos.
So what's miu
kochav v'cham machapi v'dinafshei? But different groups get a kapara with different with different animals. One with the pyre, one with the sire. Okay. Fine.
My time with Rav Shimon. Fine. So let's figure out then what's Rav Shimon's reason? What makes him say
what forces him to explain it that way? That the comparison between all the segments of the Jewish people just teach us they all get kapara, not to teach us they're all covered by the same korban, by the same animal. Where does he get that from? Just it, because
Rabbi Yehuda also believes that.
Rabbi Yehuda said all of them are covered by the Sura Mishdaleach. He says only when it comes to Tumas Mitzvah Kodshav is there a distinction.
Right.
Rabbi Shimon says for Tumas Mitzvah Kodshav there's a distinction, and for other Averis there's a distinction. Why? What forces him to say that? Like this. Dichtiv, because you have the Pasuk says, V'lokach ha-shnei ha-se'irim. You have the Pasuk describes that the Kohen Gadol takes the two Se'irim and makes the Goral one for Hashem and one for Azazel. Therefore, by saying that, by putting it in the same phrase, Shnei ha-se'irim, the two goats, Itkash Sura Mashtalech, the Sura Nafrifnim. Therefore, it means there's a hekesh between the Sura Lazazel and the Sura and the Sura Lashem. The one that's sent off and the one
that's.
And the Sura Nafrifnim, yeah. The Sura Mashtalech is the Sura Lazazel.
Right.
There's a hekesh between that one and the one Hanafrifnim, the one Lashem whose blood, who's shechted and then its blood brought
with
into. Not with the power, with the two Seirim. Well, its blood is brought at the same day as brought right after the power, right? That's what you mean, yeah. Okay, so what's the hekesh between them mean? Ma sar hanas b'snim ain't mechaper al koyanim al tumas mitzvah kodesh. Just like the sar hanas b'snim is not mechaper for koyanim for tumas mitzvah kodesh, and we know that the chidbei asher la'om. We know that because the sar hanas b'snim is described as the sar asher la'om, that is for the people excluding the koyanim, and even Rabbi Yehuda agrees to that, which is why he says. That I agree, he says that when it comes to Tumas Mitzvah Shekodshav, the Sur Hanasu B'Pnim is for one group and so just like the Sur Hanasu B'Pnim is not Machapa for the Koyanim, Asur Amashalech and Machapa for the Koyanim, Mashar Averis. So also Rabbi Shimon says on the basis of the Tekish from the word Shnei Asirim, therefore we see the Sur Amashalech cannot be Machapa for the Koyanim either because the Pasuk is comparing the two of them. Okay, so then Rabbi Yehuda, what is Rabbi Yehuda going to answer to that? Amalach, Rabbi Yehuda will answer you, Lahaki Itkush, no. The Hekesh is not for the purpose that you're saying who is Mechaperon and who is not Mechaperon. The Hekesh from the word Shnei Asirim is meant to teach us a whole different thing. She Yoshovim B'maro Hakoim over Domim, Udasa. The Hekesh, Shnei Asirim, means that the two goats have to be as alike as possible in appearance, meaning in color, let's say, or whatever, and in height, and in purchase price.
That we know from the word shnei ha-se'irim, that they should be one unit of two se'irim rather than two se'irim that were bought at different times and then look different and whatever. So nothing to do with who they're mechaper on and who not. Yeah, Rav Shimon would agree with that din also. Maybe he would say you can learn it from another, from an extra word in the pasuk, maybe because it could have said ha-se'irim and it said shnei ha-se'irim, I don't know. But whatever it is, Rav Shimon holds that you have the hekesh available to teach us about the kapara that they accomplished, and Rav Yehuda says it's just to teach us about what they should be. Man tana lahoda tana rabbanim. Fine. Let's ask then as follows. Now that we have this machlokas of Rav Yehuda and Rav Shimon, let's see the following braisa. Who does this following braisa follow? Which of these opinions? The tana rabbanim, namely we learn in a braisa. When the pasuk says v'shochach the seir hachatos asher la'am, the pasuk says you should shech the seir hachatos, meaning the seir hanas b'fnim, that is for the people. The word asher la'am teaches us she'en ha'koyinim miskaperim bo, it means the koyinim are not miskaperin it. Fine, so far everybody agrees to that. Uvameh miskaperin, with what do they accomplish their kapara?
The
koyinim. The porish al Aaron. They get it accomplished using Aaron's power, the power whose blood is brought inside, the power hanas b'fnim. Now you would think though maybe they should not gain their kapara through Aaron's power.
Why?
Because the pasuk says that the power is for him, l'chora implying
right.
only for Aaron or the succeeding Kohen Gadol. Yeah, so maybe it's only for him. In which case, they would be left out. They'd be left out. There'd be no kapara for them through the sorrow because it's asher la'am, and none through the power because it's asher la'i. Yeah. However, true omer yechaper ala koyanim. However, when they have the pasuk that we quoted before, v'ala koyanim, v'al kol yechaper, v'ala koyanim. So matzino lahen kapara. So now we find obviously there must be some kind of kapara that's needed for that. Wait. So v'mahein miskaperin. So now we have to ask which of these korbanos do they get their kapara with? Well, it had on the face of it, it's going to be one or the other. But what do? The Sura says Asher Lam, the Pyra says Asher Loi. So we have a mute by both of them. What do we?
Either the Kohen Gadol or the Aaron.
So therefore, we can figure like this. Mutav, it would be better, and therefore it's more logical to say, she is Skaper, but Pyra Shal Aaron, they can be in a Skaper with Aaron's power, Share Hutter Mikola, it's so basically. Because there's a heter from the exception. In other words, when it says Asher Loi, which would have implied that it's only for him. However, we can find an example, you can show that it applies to the Kohenim as well. That it, yeah. Let them not be in a scaffold, but the sir hanasu b'fnim. Shalai hutum mekole. It's basic. You don't find anything out of the cloud that says asher la'am that it should include the kohen. V'im nafshach loymar. So you're going to argue. Well, in other words, you're going to say you're going to say like this. Hutum mekole means when it again it said asher loy by the power, implying it's only for the kohen gadol. However, we can show, as we're going to show in a second, that Asher Loi can include that we can find another pasuk that shows us that Kohenim will be included as well.
Using
that same pasuk Asher Loi. Don't try to include them in the power Asher La'am, where there's no source to say that the Am includes that Asher La'am means the Kohenim. Now you might argue against that. The answer is you can't argue against that because you have a pasuk that says that we see that the Kohenim are described based Aaron Baruch Hu Hashem, based Halevi Baruch Hu Hashem, Yireh Hashem Baruch Hu Hashem. So we see that the Kohenim collectively are called based Aaron. So therefore, when the pasuk says about they're like this, okay, you have like this. The pasuk says about the power of Aaron. It says Asher Loi. On the other hand, the same pasuk continues B'chipur Badar V'ad Beisar. He should make kapara for himself and for Beisar. So Beisoy, we're saying, given that the pasuk itself is saying Beisoy, we have reason to argue that Beisoy means the Kohenim as well. You could argue maybe not. Maybe Beisoy means only his immediate family.
No.
But because it says Beis Aaron, Baruch Hu Hashem,
then
it means more generically the Kohenim, right? Well, it has to be, because otherwise Beis Aaron, Baruch Hu Hashem, Beis Halevi, Baruch Hu Hashem, Yireh Hashem. So yeah, where would all the other Kohenim be otherwise? Yeah.
Okay.
So, yeah. So the question is, now that we have this Braisa, so okay, let's summarize. This Braisa had brought a source
for the idea that the Kohanim get their kapara with the power of Aaron. So Mantana, which Tana would that be according to? Amram Yumiya, Deloitte Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yumiya says evidently that Brisa can't be like Rabbi Yehuda. It must be like Rabbi Shimon. Because the Rabbi Yehuda, Hama Kohanim Yeshlan Kapara Basarim Ashalayah. He said, like this, we were saying that, like the Brisa was saying, if we were to say they don't get with the Sur Hanas with Nim and they don't get with the power Kohen Gadol, then what do they have? They're stuck in the cold, nothing. According to Rabbi Yehuda, they're not. They have the Sur and Ashalayah.
Sure. Therefore
it can't be like Rabbi Yehuda, yeah. Umani. So then who could it be like? It has to be then according to. So okay, if it's not like Rabbi Yehuda, who is it like? Umani. Rava Omar, so Rava says in that case, Rav Shimoni. Dama Kohenim Enlam Kapara Basarim Ashtalaya. So therefore, Rava says, okay, by elimination, therefore it has to be according to Rav Shimon, who said that the Kohenim don't get from the Basarim Ashtalaya. Right, because according
to
the that's what the Braise is saying. Since it can't be the Sur Anasavishim, and we know according to Rav Shimon it can't be the Sur Ashtalaya either, because of his Hekish before between the two Sirim, then when the Braise is saying, what would the Kohenim be left with? Therefore, we have to somehow get them into the power, that has to be according to Rav Shimon. Abaya, after the Tamer of Yehuda, Abaya says, no, you could even say it's according to Rabbi Yehuda after all. Hachakama, because the Braisa may mean, Me'ata, if you're going to argue that they don't get with the Parish Al Aaron because it's Asheloi, and they don't get with the Sur Hanas with Nim because it's Asheloam, the question would be not that they don't get Aver, not that they don't get Kapara for their Averis in general, but Me'ata Enlan Kapara, but Tumas Mitzvah Kodshav. If you were to say so far, they would be left out in the cold as far as Tumas Mitzvah Kodshav. Rabbi Yehuda agrees that for Tumas Mitzvah Kodshav, the Kohenim have a different Kapara than the Yisraelis. Therefore, the Braise. So, in other words, the Braise proved that by saying that they're covered by the power. But the point is that the point is when the Braise is saying, you would think if the power is only for the Kohen Gadol and the Sur Hanasavish name is only for the Yisraelim, then what are the Kohenim left with? We don't mean like we thought before. Says Abaya. Don't think that it means all of the Raveris. No, it means specifically Tumas Mitzvah Kodesh. Which Rabbi Yehuda agrees that Tumas Mitzvah Shekotcha, they're not the Sarim Ashtalayah. What about the other ones? He says they're the Sarim Ashtalayah. So when the Braise said, use the expression, Me'asa Eilan Kapara, doesn't mean maybe if you didn't have a pulsus to that effect, you would say the Kohenim have no Kapara at all for any of their operators. It would mean for Tumas Mitzvah Shekotcha, what are they going to have for their Kapara? If they're excluded from the Sarah Nasabas Nim, and they're excluded from the Power Kohen Gadol, what are they left with? And the answer is we bring them back into the Power Kohen Gadol. But we're talking specifically to Tumas Mitzvah Shekotcha. And, however, the Braise continues, true Omi, Yechafer ala Kohenim, Matinish Yeshlan Kapara B'Shar Averis. Since the Pasuk says Yechafer ala Kohenim, that he brings Kapara for the Kohenim, Matinish Yeshlan Kapara B'Shar Averis, that means obviously we find there does exist Kapara for them when it comes to other Averis. Therefore, just as much as we find that they have kapara regarding other averis, kach yeshlan kapara for Tumas Mitzvah Shekotcha. So we know logically there must be some way that they have kapara for Tumas Mitzvah Shekotcha as well.
Why?
Because if they have, if the Torah had told us they have no kapara for anything, okay, they have no kapara for anything. Once we say they have kapara for other averis, we should assume they have kapara for Tumas Mitzvah Shekotcha. And therefore, we have to ask, b'mahein miskaprin. So what are we going to be mechaper them with? Therefore, the Braise says, Mutav Shei Iskaper with Parashal Aaron, better, more logical that they'll be Iskaper with Aaron's power, Sharei Hutu Mekwale Etzel Beisei, because after all, you have the positive, Hutu Mekwale means, again, that the positive had started by saying that the power is Asher Loi, but then it's Matu that, it makes an exception to that rule, it carves out an exception by saying the Chippa Bader of Ad Beisei, that's Mekaper for his family. So therefore, by iskapa b'sara nasabufnim, don't be mechafer them with b'sara nasabufnim, shara lehutu miklole, because you don't have any exception to the rule. The pasuk said it's asher la'om, and there's no exception after that to say that maybe asher la'om doesn't mean exclusively the om. So therefore, more logically, it applies to the parashal ayah. Okay, what did we mean in the bride, and then the bride's continuing, v'im nafshach loymar, so you may want to argue about that. Harayim beis aaron brachos Hashem b'vemer. So we have the positive beis aaron that shows that definitely the Kohenim are included in beis aaron. Question is, umayim nafshach loymar, what is the argument that you could have made against this that the bride is forestalling by mentioning the positive beis aaron? When you have an expression like that in the bride's v'im nafshach loymar, it implies you might have had a reason to object to this last thing that we just said, and therefore I'll bring you another proof.
So what, that the Kohanim are
included in Beis Aaron?
And therefore, I have to bring you a pasuk that explicitly says Beis Aaron.
But we said already, didn't we?
No, we didn't. The Braisa just said like this. The Braisa said that the pasuk originally called it, the pasuk originally says on it, Asher Loi, and afterwards it continues by saying, B'chipa Ba'adu V'ad Beisoi, we're arguing the word Beisoi is an extension of it, so it means it's not just Loi, but it's also Beisoi. And it can include
that.
The Kainim. You could argue against that. What's the argument that you could have made against that we have to forestall?
Okay.
The answer is like this. V'chitema, because you might argue like this, Beisoi, after all, it says Beisoi, maybe that only means his immediate family.
Right.
And in fact, I mean, in Yoma, we talk about that Beisoi means Ishto, means his wife, therefore he has to be married. So therefore, on that basis, no, Kulam, we have to answer, Kulam, Kurim, Beisoi, no, ultimately all the Kurim are called Beisoi, Shinema, Beis, Aaron, Baruchos Hashem, Yira Hashem, Baruchos Hashem. So the bottom line is, we don't have to say that Braisa is only according to Reb Shimon. We can explain the Braisa equally well, according to Reb Yehuda. All we need is to assume that the Braisa was not asking how we know that the Kohenim get kapara for all of their Avedas. That, Rabbi Yehuda says, no problem. They have the Sarah Ramashalayah. The question was how we know they get the Tumas Mekesh for Kachav. On the face of it, they're excluded from the power and they're excluded from the Sarah and after the game. The answer is they're re-included back in the power of Kohen Gadol because of Beisai. Okay. So the question then becomes, V'hai Asher La'om L'hoch Yudasa. Are you telling me that the word Asher La'om comes to teach us that it's meant only for the Yisraelim and the Levim and not for the Kohenim? V'hai Asher La'om, this word Asher La'om L'hoch Yudasa. Are you telling me that that's what it means to teach us that it excludes the Kohenim?
No. Well,
that's what we said. Asher La'om excludes the Kohenim. That's what we said the Kohenim
are
not included in the Sarah Nachman of Him. The problem with that is, Haimi Boile, the Kam Rachmana, Midam Levi. We need those words, Nida'om Levi, rather. We need those words to teach us that korban should be brought from the Am, from the Tzibur. Meaning, the Pasuk is telling us that the power of Kohen Gadol, he brings it out of his own personal fund, but it's Mechafer on the Kohenim, as we just said, as well. On the other hand, the Sarah Hanasim of Nim, and the Sarah Lazalzo for that matter, don't think they should also be brought out of the Kohen Gadol's personal money. No, those are brought Michel Tzibur, Mida'am. So therefore, the word Asher La'om, this Pashat needed to teach us that they come from the Am, from the Tzibur. Yeah, from everybody else. I mean, they come from the Tzibur. We said previously,
Am does mean...
No, but the question is, in that case, the word Asher La'om is not teaching us who it's Mechato for and who it's not. It's teaching us where the money for it comes from. That the money comes for it comes from Trumas Alishka.
Okay.
The answer is Ahum Mi Ve'esa Das Bnei Yisrael Nafka. You have an earlier pasuk in the parasha that says that. It says that from Adas Bnei Yisrael, he should get two Seirei Yizim, etc. So we know already it comes from Ma'am. So therefore, when later on the pasuk
available.
When it describes it, Asher La'om, it must mean that it's meant to limit who it's mechata for. Okay. Problem with that is, fine. So that's good. What about the high Asher Loi Lahakhi Udasa? What about were you saying that the Asher Loi, we argued before in the Braisa that the word Asher Loi implies that it, on the face of it it's only Machapa for the Kohen Gadol, not for everybody else, and therefore we needed Uvad Beisoi, the teacher that's Machapa for the Kohenim. Are you telling me the words Asher Loi are coming to teach us for that purpose? We need the words Asher Loi for a different Jerusha as well. Namely, it says in a Braisa, Mishaloi who maybe, that the power has to be brought out of the Kohen Gadol's own money, the Eni maybe Mishal Tzibur, you do not bring it from the Tzibur. Now, Yochol, you would think, the power. Now, continue the Braisa, Yochol lo yavi Mishal Tzibur, Shein HaTzibur Miskafenboi. So you would think, okay, it's logical you don't bring it from the Tzibur's money. The Tzibur's not getting anything out of it. They're not getting any kapara out of it. So there's no reason that they should have to contribute it. Aval yavi Mishal Echav HaKohenim, but on the face of it, maybe you should collect money from all the Kohenim. Because after all the Kohenim are Meskaper in it, so maybe they should all be contributing. No, that's why the Pasuk specifically says, Asher Loi, that it's only for him. That it's only from him, meaning only from his money.
From his money.
To be Mechaper on the Kohenim, yeah. And Yochol, you could have thought, first of all, it's meant to be brought from the Tzibur. So the first Asher Loi, it's three times it says in the Pesukim over there, Asher Loi.
Right.
So one teaches us you don't bring it from the Tzibur.
Right.
The second one tells us you don't bring it from the Kohenim either, only the Kohen Gadol pays for it.
Right.
And the third one, Yochol Lo Yavi Vim Hevi Kosher, then you would think that maybe you shouldn't, okay, L'chatchila, you shouldn't bring it from anybody else's money, but B'dievet you did, it would still be kosher.
Tamad lomer shuv ashaloi. Therefore, it says yet a third time ashaloi, meaning a cost of shana olav la'akid. The pasuk repeats it again to tell us that it's ma'akid. We have a general rule in kodshim: anytime something is repeated twice or more, then it means it's ma'akid. It means it must be that way, and if not, it's kosher.
And so it must be that.
So it must be that it comes from his own money.
Okay.
So we use the word ashaloi for that. So there's
three
times we have ashaloi to teach us these various things it doesn't come from the sibur, it doesn't come from the kohenim, and it has to come from the kohen gadol's money, and if not, then it's fossil. So therefore, what are you telling me? So what is the braita telling me from ashaloi sounds like it means it's only machaper on him, and we need the word ba'ad beis to tell us that not, if ashaloi teaches us where it's supposed to be bought from? The answer is Tana Hokiko Kashala. Yes, but the Tana of the braita that we quoted before, what his kasha was like this. Now, what's the reason? Okay, logically, you could say, fine, the pyre is not mechaper for the people. They didn't spend any money on it. Therefore, it's logical it shouldn't be mechaper for them. So then, in that case, the one of Aaron also, they didn't spend money on it. Because we said the Kohenim, we said it's not to be brought from the Kohenim, the Ka'ama Kulam Kruin Besa, and yet we're saying that they're all called Besa. So how is it possible that we can say that people who didn't spend money on this Korban should be Neskapa with it? How can we say? That's the question of the Braitha. True, Asher Loi means who spends money on it. But once we say the Kohen spends money, the Kohen Gadol is the one who spends money on it, why should we assume that the other Kohenim get Kapara with it for Chal?
Why should we not assume that they get
Why should they? You can only get kapara with something that you contributed towards. So the seirim of the regalim and whatever all the Jewish people contribute towards through Mas Shekel, so they have kapara. The people don't contribute to the Kohen Gadol's power, so therefore obviously they don't get kapara with it.
Right.
Why should the Kohenim get kapara with it if they didn't pay towards it?
Because they cannot contribute. It has to be from the Kohen Gadol.
But that's the question. Once we say it's meant to be only from the Kohen Gadol's fund, then how is anybody else able to get kapara for it? Yeah, that's the question. Yeah.
And the answer is?
So that's what we have to figure out. Rika Omar, and the answer is Kulin Kurin Beisei. They're all called Beisei, and therefore they're all included. So therefore, they're all included. The Gemara elsewhere uses the expression mikufya. It's like there's sort of a kapara floating around over there, and they're able to join in.
Put themselves in.
They're able to put themselves in. Yeah. Okay, well, it's Maariv now, so we'll finish the parrot tomorrow. Okay.